Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, friends and family. This is Sam in the Morning with Tori. It is Friday, March 24th, and we're excited. You thought we were moving, huh?
Yeah, I could.
I would have told you
okay,
if we were moving.
First of all, I was like, what if he didn't tell me? And then I was like, well, who cares? I just go where he goes.
Exactly. No, you would have known, but yeah. We're having it painted because we renewed the lease.
Nice.
And we figured this is when you have some leverage over them, you know,
ooh,
to do some work for you.
Yes.
So they're going to replace the carpet too here, and it'll be really cool. So I decided to do a little facelift, you know.
Ooh, I was just thinking. Little
every
Botox.
Couple of years, we like to freshen up a little bit.
We had a guest who said that about her, about plastic surgery. But I thought about, hey, it could be a metaphor for anything.
Yeah, right?
Every couple of years, give yourself. And she was really like unapologetic about it. And she was like, every couple of years, I do something for me and my husband. And I was like, okay, I might not do that, but I might get a deck or a porch, or change something in my house.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Move the furniture
yeah,
around.
Yeah, the couch
right?
goes this way, the couch goes that way.
It changes things a little bit. That's why I also got used to moving a lot when I was younger. Mm-hmm. So I used to like moving to a new place and starting sort of a new life, you know?
What's funny is my family is incredibly homebodies. They're like mice that live in a like cozy little cave forever. And I was always the one who would, scatter.
So they're still where you were born, in the same house?
They are literally in the same house. My sister's a mile away. They are incredibly home people. And so am I. But I like to, every couple years, right, I go to
they
Italy.
They like stability, certainty.
I like to bounce around.
Yeah, there you go. You're the free spirit of the family.
That's cool.
Bouncing off the walls.
Yeah.
There you go. Guys, thank you for joining us. We're going to continue our conversation about atheism today. We'll get to our guest, our returning guest, Michael Langer, in just a minute. And just a couple things, story, anything we need to know about. I know the healthcare thing is out of whack completely, right?
Ooh,
what's
I love
going
the way
on?
That's out of whack.
Yeah.
I wish that would be just like the way you sum it up, which it kind of is. So the healthcare bill is not going to be passed from what they think. They just rushed it too much. I said to my husband, he rushed it without knowing the complex issues. He rushed it, and he goes, he's always rushing.
Yeah.
Is that funny?
I know. You said, I read that. That
was so
good,
funny.
Right?
Oh,
he's rushing it. Yeah. There you
anyway,
go.
Anyway, he's always rushing. Anyway,
that's
it's
good.
So now the news story in the New York Times is he's frustrated because he was forced to do healthcare instead of tax reform, which would have been more palatable to Republicans. So he's blaming this now already on Paul Ryan, saying Paul Ryan forced me to do this. Mm. And now Trump's upset because he's forcing the bill coming up today between 3:45 and 4:45. We should find out the vote. So it's not going to work.
No, huh?
No. Like the chairman of like the Freedom Committee, like they're, it's not going to work.
Yeah,
they need to.
This is going to take a long time because it's very complex
you can't rush
thing. You
and
know,
the first thing you do is this a complex thing, and you push it out of the gate.
Right.
And just like honestly, Pelosi said, whether you like her or not, Nancy Pelosi was like, "This was just a rookie mistake. Like you can't in D.C. You need a consensus before you can really." And I'm from there, and things go like snail pace.
Right.
You cannot push. So this was, and he's supposed to be the deal maker, though.
Right.
This is for all those.
I don't know. He's supposed to be a lot of things. Yeah. I'm not seeing.
But I mean, art of the deal is like this is why he was elected to a lot of people.
Right.
They held that book up and had him sign
his,
it.
His knowledge in business,
his
and
business
leadership,
and negotiations, and this is not a great start.
Right.
So he's not having a good couple years.
He hasn't had any good anything other than winning. I mean, my God.
But don't worry, Ivanka's skiing in Aspen, so we're fine.
She is.
With
well,
Jared Kushner,
somebody.
Senior advisor.
Yeah. Okay.
just so you know, they're fine. They're in Aspen skiing.
And the former Egyptian President Mubarak is freed.
Yes.
He was finally let go free. Do you remember him in behind bars and stuff when he was taken down?
Oh, yeah.
That was some sight, man. And then he came to the hospital in a bed.
Yeah. The optics of that was crazy.
Right.
When you see someone, and then again, like when you saw, like when you see someone of power taken down to that level, it's very strange.
Right. Just like with Gaddafi. I mean, remember his body? My God.
It's bizarre.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. Or when you see literally just a statue topple in something like a Stalin or a Lenin, you see it topple, and or Saddam, really.
With Saddam. And
so
when
symbolic.
They found him in a little hole in the
Oh, my God. How symbolic was that?
Right?
Yeah.
A rat.
Yeah.
Right. But So I have done a lot of reading on terror acts lately, and I'm ready to debate you on that, but not on this show. We'll wait
good,
for a
show. Good, because I researched the shit out of it, knowing you would research it, thinking that I wouldn't research it, and I did research it.
Good. So
there you go.
So we have a debate ready. The next show, we don't have a guest. We'll do that. But okay. We don't have one coming for a while, so we'll see.
Maybe I have some friends that want to be on.
Yeah. Good. But no, cool. That's what I want. I want some debate. Yeah. And when you open up my eyes, I like it.
Yes.
You know?
And I like it when we have... I think healthy debate is what it's all about, man.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can't debate cray-cray. I can't go against crazy. That's why I think of Tom.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
You know what I mean? I love to debate against another side. I love our relationship. I love our chemistry.
Right.
I love our debates. But I and you or
I can't defend Trump much, so we can't have a debate.
Exactly.
It'll be an agreeable thing.
Because you can't debate cray-cray.
Right.
That's my bumper sticker.
That's a good one.
I know.
But you'd have to explain it.
I know, but guess what? That starts conversation.
It does, but you always have doing things you have to explain.
I don't like that.
Like with the doors and sardines.
Yeah,
I know, but
I changed that because of you.
I know.
Whatever. My Instagram. I thought Instagram when I first signed up, just so y'all know, was something like cool and not. I didn't realize it could be a branding tool.
Right.
So of course I put a quote from a obscure play. Well, it's not obscure. Noises off called doors and right. Sardines. So it turns out, yeah, maybe people didn't know. It was
yeah,
me.
Only the people that are in on it would know.
No, because if you looked me up, it would show up.
Right. No, but if they saw doors and sardines, would they put it together with you?
No, it was a rookie mistake. So thank you for your
wisdom. I mean, we try.
Yeah.
You know, we
thank
try.
You. No,
although I've got barely any followers on Instagram, but I know what it takes.
There you go.
Yeah, who's got the time for it?
I do, apparently.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
Trying.
Well, no, I mean, look, when you have one, two accounts, it's easy, you know, but we got a million of them.
Yeah. You got to hire someone or an intern.
We did, and you can't find good help these days. Sometimes there's just one job you have to do, you know?
Yeah.
Just one job.
I always feel, and I'm a Capricorn, and I don't know if I believe that shit, but here I'll say this. I do feel like it's a mountain goat and I like to be at the top. So when I have a job like that, I want to do it myself.
Right.
So I get that feeling of like, well, you're not, unless they're fantastic,
right.
I can't delegate like well.
Yeah. But I can't tell you how many times it happens when I try to trust people and you pay the money and they give you shit in return.
I know.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's,
I think, have you
that's
gone to
what I got.
The UCLA people?
What do you mean? Like,
go to their radio
interns
for the degree. Go get people majoring in radio. There
no,
you
but
go.
I need someone in social media. I don't care about
or
radio.
Do UCLA majoring in social media. And hey, say this could be on your resume and do it for, like, they would love to. And they're serious.
But I want someone good.
That's UCLA or USC. Are you kidding me? That would be a smart idea. Like, when people have nannies now, they go to the colleges, the best colleges around
right, but they're students. You see, what I'm saying is I want someone who's doing this all the time.
You
who
want,
knows
I
what
see. You want Ari
to them
Entourage.
Second nature.
Okay, got it. You want, like, smooth, I got this, I got a Beamer, whatever. Yeah, I totally get that. You want a different level. I totally get that.
Well, no. All I'm saying is I want someone who does it every day.
Totally. It's totally
so to them, it's second nature. You
totally.
Know? They're not, like, learning on my dime.
Exactly. Very smart.
Yeah.
Well, this is why you got me to change my Instagram name.
There you go.
No, it's a smart idea. You want someone who's really just, like, lived this world for a while.
Right.
Totally.
Right. Absolutely. All right. Well, we're going to bring in our guest back in. We're joined by Michael Langer. Welcome to the show, sir.
Good morning, everyone.
Thank you for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.
For those of you who follow the show every day, you know that Michael was here 2 days ago on Wednesday, where we started discussing his film, Godless, The Truth Beyond Belief. It's a documentary about atheism. And you started this when, Michael?
Well, I started it in 2015.
Uh-huh.
I came here and did the first round of interviews. And with that material, I then did a teaser for the crowdfunding campaign, and that's what I've been using so far to, you know, raise awareness and everything. But it's been going on for like a year and a half now.
A couple of years almost. Wow.
Almost, yeah. I wish I could get it done soon.
Right. So the movie is still a work in progress, right?
It's a work in progress. I'm finishing the interviews now. Actually, in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be wrapping up. And I'm very happy with this last trip, because I've got some really nice stuff. And I think now I can say that I've got everything I need to tell a good story. Yeah.
Right. And this is a documentary, so it is kind of tricky to tell a story with the documentary, right? You really have to do a lot of editing.
I was going to ask you that. Is it narrator-based? Are you in it? Is it just the speaking?
I don't know.
What's the style?
After Michael Moore did his films and did really well, I saw many people trying to emulate that kind of style. And I think that for this particular film, nothing against the style itself, but I think that for this particular film that deals with such an important issue and it's so dear to so many people, it would be not only naive on my part, but maybe a little bit too arrogant to put myself in there and, you know, this is my point of view. I don't want to include my point of view in the film. It has to be a very objective film. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'll be subjected to so many scrutiny and everything. So I want to show what goes on in people's lives. I have nothing to do with it other than the fact that I chose to tell the story. I have my point of view, but I try to keep it as much out of the film as possible. I know
think
it's
that's
impossible
smart for this topic. Right. Don't you think that's so
you
smart?
You got to be biased. And now let's clarify this. And I asked Tori afterwards, but I guess I must have missed it. But you were born Jewish, right? And you grew up Jewish. Are you an atheist now?
Yeah, I've been an atheist for a long... Actually, let's get that clear.
Yes.
We're all born atheists.
Okay.
Okay? At some point,
you learn
someone
religion.
Told you something, or usually your parents, or
the community,
authority figure, or some,
right, school.
And then you
right.
become religious. But right. if you were born in an isolated island, a deserted island, and stayed there for your whole life, you would never acknowledge God or Jesus or Allah or anything. So we were all born atheists at
right.
some point. And some people say that this indoctrination that happens at a very early age can be seen as a form of child abuse, because you get a child of like 3 or 4 years old, and then you tell them, well, you know, you have to do this, you have to do that. Otherwise, you go to a place where you're going to burn in hell for all of eternity. I mean, the kid doesn't even know what a year is yet.
Right.
And you're talking about burning in hell for eternity. So that is very powerful. And that's why it's so ingrained in people's heads. So much that at some point in their lives they stop. I mean, they don't want to even talk about it. It's like they build those walls right. around this issue, and that's why it's so taboo.
Right, and that's why they say don't talk about politics and religion to other people. Right,
and exactly. money. It's don't that. Talk money, politics, and religion.
Right,
that's exactly right.
And who benefits from that?
Right.
Not talking about these issues.
Yeah. So
right?
what are we talking about now? The salt? Like that's terrible, right? What are we talking? Nothing. That's those are the important issues.
Yeah.
But because people are not stimulated, they're not to question things.
Right.
I mean, and this is why. And we were talking about millennials, and this is what's so good about this generation. They question everything, and we should question everything. We shouldn't take things for face value.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah, gotcha. I mean, I totally see this. So you grew up, at what point in your life did you start really questioning your...
Very early. I mean, again, because I was exposed to all the arguments at school, but again, because I had always had an inclination to, you know, science, and I mentioned this the other day. I mean, I used to read comic books, and comic books...
There's not really religion in comic books, is
exactly.
there?
Exactly. There's no place...
I was just... When you said that, I thought, wait a minute. My friend, Sean Ryan, writes comic books, and he writes Spider-Man and Superman. I mean, he really does. And I was like, there's no God there, is
there's
there?
There's no God. There's no room for God. But not only there's no room for God, because, I mean, they're also fictional characters.
Sure.
It's like atheists believe that God is, but... It's usually, and Marvel Comics, you mentioned Spider-Man, Marvel Comics, even more than DC Comics, for instance, they try to base everything in science. So it's not like, oh, magic and
right.
stuff happens. So, I mean, you have the mutants. Okay, it happens because of radiation.
Sure.
It's a mutation.
Like Krypton is an actual chemical that happened with Superman. Like there's an
yeah,
actual
chemical.
Yeah,
but that's chemical. What I mean. DC, it's usually like kind of, you know, I think it's a little bit more on the silly side because it's usually... More like fantasy,
yeah,
but Marvel Comics is usually science-based.
I see.
And that put me in that position very early on to question things, to look things up. So I would get references from, you know, very edgy stuff in terms of science research that my colleagues didn't know about because I read comic books.
Mm.
But, I mean, it's very hard to pinpoint was this or was that.
There's a process.
Yeah, it's a process.
Right.
And it's just a matter of you being open to questions. And some people, and I respect the fact that some of my colleagues from back then didn't have maybe a place in their homes where they could feel free and comfortable enough to ask questions.
Right.
And this is very complicated and very very troubling, because it all comes back to the home, to the family, right, to that nucleus that raises actually individuals and citizens even more than schools. And
that's where it happens, you know. I mean, the thing is, like, my mom is so ingrained, for example, on eating only kosher meat, right? And the thing is, I mean, it's like to the point where, and she's not religious per se, you know, it's not like we, yeah, but the holidays, the traditions, all that stuff,
it
is so ingrained
everything.
That she won't even dare thinking any other,
right,
there's another possibility.
And if you ever go back to like why things were kosher back then, it was for like sanitary purposes, like,
right,
there was a scientific reason things were actually kosher, if,
right,
whatever. So when people are kosher and I say, oh, why are you kosher, they don't, there's no reason, it's just so ingrained.
Well, I have, right, a friend that he says he's kosher, he doesn't eat pork, but he eats lobster.
Yeah,
he loves shrimp.
But then I don't eat, for kosher.
Get this. I don't eat pork. I eat pepperoni. I am a terrible. I mean, this is. Yeah. But I do for some reason have that same thing of like when my in-laws had pork, I was like, wait, no, I can't have this. But I can, right, eat bacon. Like, that is completely,
exactly,
absurd. Like,
I mean, I remember we went on a cruise ship when I was very young, and like 12, 13 years old. And they served us bacon, you,
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
And I'd never seen it before. My dad is like, don't touch that. That's pig.
Why?
Well, when you look at it,
it's silly.
I mean, okay, not really the same thing, but when you look at how people treat gluten now, I mean, yeah, gluten just became this monster, and now they're saying that people that if you don't have a, I don't know if you call it a celiac problem, I don't know how you call it.
Celiac.
If you don't have it and you cut it off, you could have problems. Mm. So now people it became gluten free. Everything you buy, like gluten free, became the new pork.
It did.
But obviously that's probably like a religion too. You know, people subscribe to all that bullshit.
People worship,
you know,
kale.
Yeah, right.
They love that kale.
But it just comes down to the fact that when you see an authority figure and people that you respect saying to you that you shouldn't eat gluten, you take that for granted. You. So people that coming back to the problem of people just not questioning things, not being skeptic enough. I mean, don't take people's word for it. Some people think that the earth is flat, for crying out loud. I mean, so why? Just because it's Shaq, now you're going to believe it, that the earth, mm-hmm, is flat, because I like him very much.
Right.
You know, and other, you know.
That was weird.
Right.
Well, it is, but not, I mean, not the fact that he believes it, but it,
some people,
that
everybody,
brings,
yeah,
up the fact that many people still believe in 2017 that the earth is flat.
And, you know, during the Holocaust, when, you know, General Eisenhower at the time went and visited and had photographs taken, he was like, I'm doing this specifically so anyone who says this did not happen can see evidence. And even back then, this person is saying this.
Right.
So in the 40s, this is a known thing and a smart thing by him to have gone and taken pictures, because I think people, there's some weird deniers out there about weird things.
Right.
That are
moon
definitely
landing.
True. Yeah.
Right.
It's, yeah, amazing. But, yeah, you still have, people love a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, yeah,
they,
yeah,
love to think that they know something that the others don't. But I mean, again, just going to the, I mean, it doesn't matter. We mentioned it the other day, I mean, about being conservative or liberal. It doesn't matter.
Just
as
question.
Long as you make your own choices and you take your own conclusions,
right,
for yourself.
And you do it consciously, not because your parents raised you that way.
Well, that,
and told you that.
And that's the trick. That,
right,
is really hard. Because
that's
for
very
you
hard.
To break away from those shackles,
right,
that you were born, I mean, and raised with, it's really hard.
Right. And especially in some places more than others, you know. You grew up in Israel, it's the Jewish state, you know. The whole country practices the religion. There you try to separate religion and state? No,
it's,
man.
It's
very difficult.
It's ingrained, yeah.
I mean, they, you know, the religious people there do decide policy, you know, and that sucks, because sometimes you feel it's like just like in Iran, or
right, like a Muslim,
you know,
theocracy.
But
is
at
the
same,
same
time,
thing.
It's really interesting that you mentioned Israel. I wanted to go there. Israel, I think, is very important to tell this story, because first of all, you know, I'm a Jew from Brazil. And whenever you find, you know, Jewish communities around the world, they have religion becomes this social glue. Now, Judaism is very particular because it's different from Christianity and Islam, because it's a people or more than a religion. It's a people that has one religion called Judaism.
Right, but it's a heritage,
it's an,
right?
It's an ethnicity, yeah.
Right.
It has tradition of it. But, and not only that, we don't ask people to join a religion. That's the opposite. I mean, you try
exactly.
to get people.
It's very hard to join Judaism.
It's very hard.
to convert.
But oh, yeah, you have to ask the rabbi three times. I mean, it takes study. Yeah.
Exactly. And you become more religious than the person you married if you're converting.
You're much more educated.
For your spouse.
So what happens is, in Brazil, for instance, I have people that don't follow anything. They don't respect the Sabbath and everything. But on Yom Kippur, which is the day of the fast, they fast. They go to the church, the synagogue, they do everything. When I was in Israel, I was really, amazed by the fact that I was there in Yom Kippur. Mm. And people weren't even that, didn't care that much about it. Because they were already in Israel. So when in the diaspora, the Jewish communities look up to Israel. And the way that they can bring that feeling of the country, of being there, is through religion.
Through that tradition. It
exactly.
Keeps them together because everybody celebrates in the same way anywhere in the world.
But at the same time, what happens in Israel is that the politics is very taken by religion. You know, have a religious party, anything. But the people is one of the most secular people.
Secular.
It's true.
And that's why there's such a big divide between
that's
the religious and the Orthodox.
Okay, so I didn't know that. And as a Jew, I feel really bad not knowing that. But so you're saying the people of Israel, or Israelis, are much more of a, secular question,
yes.
Not as observant, much more
right,
relaxed.
Yeah, more like me.
See,
you know?
I didn't really realize that.
Yeah.
And not only that, when I was there, I remember there was this huge debate over, first of all, when you see people that are more pro-war and pro-conflict, a huge part of them are like the religious, right? Mm-hmm. You know, because they say that the land, because it's in the scripture, just as the Muslims say that it says in their scripture that land, the size of it doesn't blah blah blah. So they want to occupy it, colonize it, whatever. But at the same time, the more religious you are, less likely it is that you're going to join the army. So what happens is, it's very ironic, because the same people that say we should go to war don't send their kids.
Mm. Right.
So it's
they don't send their kids.
My kids are going to stay here praying.
Exactly. Not even working. They're going to go and study the Torah. And who's benefiting from this? Only they do. You know, so the thing is this, is that you keep the whole religious community away from risking their own sons, but they want to dictate policy.
I when I hear this, I think of, again, Trump, in that he went to a military high school and was in military garb when he graduated. And then he hurt his foot or something, and he never went. And it's
George W. Bush.
Exactly. Just literally evaded the tests where he needed to go. So it's it's fascinating to me that it's rare when a senator, I'm from D.C., when a senator or a congressman's son or daughter actually is in combat, it's a huge thing. Mm. It should be everyone's.
Yeah.
You know
that's
what I mean?
True. That's true. And in Israel, everybody goes to the army.
Right.
That's what people have to understand. It's not like a choice.
Not only everybody goes to the army.
Not
only women. Women there goes 2 years minimum. Men go there 3 years,
3 years
minimum. And then every year after that, you have to spend a couple of weeks doing
reserve duty.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a good thing? Do you think that's a bad thing? What is your take?
They just have to do it.
I mean,
it's not a matter of choice.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter what you think. You have to.
Mm-hmm. And it's so ingrained in the culture that if you don't go, if you
you're
slip
really
out,
ostracized.
You are.
Yeah.
I can understand that. Yeah.
That you won't be able to get a job or anything.
Wow.
Well, you didn't do your part.
Right.
Wow. To keeping anybody safe.
And there's something said to be in tribal places, that's what you do. The village protects its own, and you just mandatorily, this is from Africa all over the world, that's a tribal feeling if you keep the village together.
Right. And that's exactly what Judaism is about. They call it the tribe, you know?
Yeah.
Because, and that's really what keeps them together, and we've had to, because we've been dispersed around the world for so many years, that this was the traditions. People felt if we speak the same language, we pray at least in the same language. So, and these are some of the good things about religion we've been talking, and we'll talk about the other
not
side
religion,
as well.
In this case, tradition. I mean, the thing.
Right.
I mean, I love having Pesach, the dinner,
Passover
dinner.
Seder.
It's one of those.
That's
in
New York.
Those two or three times a year where everybody gets together, the whole family, you're going to meet everyone. And then, then you say, I can stay without it for a couple of months. And then, 6 months later, which is fine. I mean, now even my older uncles, they go speed it up a little bit because they, even they don't have the patience for it anymore. But when we were kids, we're like,
it took 4 hours.
Yeah.
I remember. Oh my God.
But still, I mean, it's fine. This is tradition. This is good. This is what keeps people together and bring. I mean, this part of your identity, and I I'm so grateful for that. I mean, we all should be grateful for our, of our heritage and everything. But again, this is something completely different from the supernatural beliefs that drive people to do things. And I'm not talking about killing anyone. I'm just talking about maybe not eating this or not lighting a match or, you know, right. going up a flight of stairs because you don't want to press a button to call the elevator.
Or when drive in fact, the car.
And, but when in fact, you're supposed to rest. So you just because you were told by...
It's all loopholes.
Yeah. And so I remember when I was in school, but you cannot call, you know, press the button because you're going to, you know, create a spark, so you shouldn't create anything.
Right, because
so
it's
what
work.
You do, you walk up like three flowers.
So it's like
stairs. So you're supposed to rest and you're going like...
I know, and on Yom Kippur, we can turn on the light, so you leave some lights on, but then you walk in the dark in the middle of the night, and it's bullshit, you know? It's a lot of bullshit, but it keeps people together, and it depends on how you look at it. Now, I think we can all give our views here. I want us all to sort of give our views on how you view God and religion, people have been calling like crazy. I don't want to take calls yet. If I do at all, because I hate callers, first of all. And if I don't know the number, I'm not taking you. And second, because they always take you to another direction. So, and we've got a great discussion here that I wanted to bring up. But let me ask you this. Religion, what do you think of the point where it became... I mean, religion was sort of like always there, right? There were like idols and things like at least from... What we
I mean,
research.
Even from the ancient Greeks.
Exactly.
You had,
since
you had
the time of
it's us trying to explain
mythology.
Things,
exactly. It was the first right. attempt to explain
rainbows.
The world around
reality.
Us, right? University.
So, it was first attempt to and to get to science.
Sure.
Science is just knowledge.
Right.
And religion was the first attempt to explain things that people
a
couldn't
thunderstorm.
Understand.
That's
exactly.
Right.
So science is basically the same thing, but without the method, without the empirical knowledge. It's just... making things up, making right. things that make sense to you at the time. So let's say, for instance, someone gets struck by a lightning. Well,
he did something to deserve
what are the
that?
Odds?
Right.
He must have done something.
To the gods of light.
And now we know that even though the odds are really slim, it can happen, just like winning the lottery. What are the odds? Well, someone will eventually win the lottery. So whenever a very strange coincidence would happen, just imagine a solar eclipse. Like 10,
how would they have explained that?
10,000
exactly.
years ago. Well, how can I explain that? Or, you know, sudden stuff. So a guy was suddenly crying and starts to rain. Oh, it has to be connected. So people started building correlations and worse than that, like cause and effect relationship to things that didn't have anything to do with one another.
Right.
So, but again, it was a genuine... attempt that we have. That's why human beings are different from any other animal in the planet. We try to understand things, and this is what brought us to the point that we are right now.
Right.
But it's just the fact that tool, it has its purpose. It was really important for a long time, and it kept, as we mentioned the other day, it kept people civil. And, you know, it helped.
There was a code.
It helped bring societies together.
It brought right and wrong to the consciousness
there was a moral
of people,
code.
You know.
There was a moral
and
code.
That happened when we went into a one God religion, which started with Judaism and stuff, at least to our understanding. Before that, there were idols and human sacrifice and things like this. Those are the things that changed with the one God. And that's why I think it became, monotheism has become like, became a very... a breakthrough in human development, you know, because suddenly we moved over from the primitive to, some people would argue that religion is still primitive, but move to the next phase, let's say.
Yeah.
But I'd like to do this. Tell me how God, what do you believe as far as God is today, and how's religion to you in your life? And then I'm going to tell it, and then you, because yours is probably the most untraditional. So
I'm pretty much what we were talking about today. I was raised very conservative Jewish, not conservative politically, but there's, you know, reform conservative. But right now, I question a lot. I don't know a lot, and I think religion has done a lot of harm. So I'm in between. I love the traditions of it, just like we said. I want to raise my kids to have candles in the window because other Jews around the world are doing it. But do I want to tell them do I believe confession? Not really. Do I believe Hail Marys or things we do? No, I question a lot.
Right.
So
right.
I'm as you
what
say,
about like Yom Kippur and Passover? I mean, would
I don't fast, although my family does. Right. I don't. Instead, I donate. I do other things that really can help, I think, in more right. active ways right. that do it. I don't think fasting makes me do anything positive.
Yeah. So you don't feel there's any point in doing
but
it.
I get the reason of like everyone else is suffering and we're all doing this together. I get that, but I'm more of a I'm half and half. I'm like a scientist meets someone who likes tradition. That's what right. it is.
Yeah.
I was born into really my school. I was meant to question authority and question, and we read the Bible again, like I said last time, as literature. So it was not. But I also went to Hebrew school.
Yeah.
So, and I got bat mitzvah. So there is a real tension there, but I lean towards what makes more common sense.
Yeah.
I think my family wishes I were more. I married someone that wasn't Jewish. I don't do the Jewish. I don't cook the same. I do Blue Apron, but I don't do like a potted chicken. And I think that like breaks my mother's heart. But I don't. I want to learn more and do. And I don't fast, and that really upsets them. But they don't go to temple any other time either.
Right. So it's now, like, if they didn't care, would you be more free to experiment then?
Well, I became a Buddhist when I got really sad about 7 years ago. And I went kind of full on. So Buddhism to me makes a lot of sense. I'm like a Jew-boo is what I like to say. Traditionally, I do my Jewish things. Really, I love the tradition of it. And it keeps me with my friends that I've known all my life. Find the Afikoman. That's something I'll always have. Right. But I also love the idea that when I'm anxious, I don't necessarily go to a god right now. I go to like some meditative, mindful techniques. That's more happening
so,
for me.
So you've progressed in that way. Which,
the Jubu is
right,
what
but you choose to keep your identity. As
absolutely.
A Jew.
Will I have Hanukkah, Pesach for all of my family? Of course. Will I also though have the biggest, most obnoxious Christmas in the whole wide world? Yeah. And my mom wouldn't allow a Christmas tree. Well, my husband's Irish Catholic. I'm gonna like. Throw up Christmas. I've never had Santa come to my house. Like, I'm going to go cray cray. But that's because that's a pagan symbol, the right. evergreen. It's not a Christian thing to me.
Right, right.
You know, so I'm just more knowledgeable about it than more belief based, I think.
Yeah.
But I'm also confused.
But now that you have a bi-religious home.
Yeah.
Have you considered what's going to happen with the kids? How are you going to raise them? Because that's a traditional we're talking about, Michael. And I'm wondering how we all feel about it.
And I'm like right at the age of having kids. So this is something we discussed with our rabbi before getting married. So it was a big deal. So like we want to raise the kids, just like you said, traditionally with the major things we did in our family, but also raise them with Buddhist techniques to help them calm themselves down when they're up. I think we want to raise them kind of Jubu with some Christmas trees.
Oh, wow.
Because I think we see and teach them science.
And that's pretty much conservative Judaism, I think, around America. It's not unusual. I see that a lot.
Yeah, that's very much become the secular interfaith. When things blend, you all become mixed and you become what's most important and you pare down. Well, what's most important to me? The traditions my mother, my grandmother, my sister, we all have. And I want to have Buddhist principles because I think it helps in the moment. Literally, it's just helpful.
That's true.
So that's what I do.
Yeah.
So that's my take.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, let me briefly tell you what where I am in my life as far as God and religion, and then I'm curious to hear about yours. I'm just like totally distracted because people are calling to our main number and
focus,
I just get
focus.
Like, I know. but no, this is really cool. So let me tell you where I stand today. I was raised traditional Jewish, which in Israel, it's more than being a conservative Jew. There's really separation between men and women, even when you're not an Orthodox. You see, you can be secular like me. You go to synagogue, the women and men are separated.
Right.
You know, and I have to subscribe to that. So, so those are things that you sort of like have to live with if you don't necessarily agree with them. I felt at a certain point when I started realizing the empowerment of women and the equality and all that stuff, I started thinking, so that was rather early on in my life, and I started wondering, why are we doing this? Why are we dividing? Why are women less?
Is that why
the
first
are they
thing
walking
that,
behind? Why are they behind, you
that
know?
That was your first question. Why
is that going on, you know? And, you know, and pork was always associated with Christians, so thus Christians are bad, or, you know, things like that. But they never came out and said it. But like Jesus Christ, oh, don't even talk about it. You know, I mean, to this day, if I talk about Christianity to my parents, even in a scientific way, I feel they sort of cringe, you know. Wow. Although they've lived here a long time, they've gotten used to it, you know. And but let me tell you where I stand. So I realize that to me, I can't let go of God because God answers a lot of questions I have about the universe, about the meaning of life to me, about science and all these things. And to paraphrase Einstein, he said, you know, the closer I, or the more I get into science, the closer I get to God.
To God.
You know, something like that. Yeah. I'm not saying the exact words. But but what I like is the fact that there is and I think most people agree there's a force out there that sort of like started everything, and that is God, and that is what it is to me. I don't believe there's a punishing God. I don't think it's about that. That the moral, you know, the being right or wrong is something that human beings are supposed to come to terms with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even if you look at God, you know, I mean, it seems like in the Bible, right, there's so much war and torture and mayhem and everything. And you go, how can a God allow this to happen? How can he kill his own people, his own creation, right? But you realize for a God, human life is not that big a deal. You know what I'm saying? I mean, to teach the whole people a lesson and stuff. But I'm trying to stay out of religion because, and you see how integrated it is into minds. But the point is to me is, I believe there is that force out there. I believe that God is a personal thing, and I think religion is an institutionalized faith, and where people try to tell you how to worship God. And to me, that doesn't work for me. So I'm pretty much where you are, where knowledge meets faith, tradition, things like that. You know, I'd like to see my kids having a Jewish home just to continue the tradition, Michael, and I'm going to hand this back over to you. But, you know, raising the kids with the tradition, at least so they know what being Jewish is all about. Go ahead.
Bravo. Hashtag preach. Just kidding.
Yeah. No, I mean, this is what it's about. And I want
to hear so many things to talk about. But
yeah, no, you get the last 12 minutes because we're running out of time again.
So I'm going to be fast because 12 minutes is not enough.
And you have to go back to Brazil. So we can't invite you the third time anytime soon.
You can call in. He'll call in.
That's
true, right. But one more thing before you continue, okay? I want to remind everybody, we're talking to Michael Langer. He's from Brazil visiting for a few days here to put together his film Godless. You guys can find out more by going to the website godlessdoc.com, which is an awesome domain. You know, I had to do a double take to go. Did he actually get that one?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. But so we're talking about atheism, about God, about religion, and I just wanted to summarize that to me, I don't subscribe to the institutionalized faith because this is people deciding for you how to live your life. I have to totally agree. These were books that were written for people less advanced than we are. They had to be explained how to behave, how to preserve society to continue. That's what family is all about.
Mm.
But it just keeps bringing up the questions of, so where did it all start? Michael.
Again, okay, so the question of where did it all start, it's a question that we've been having for so long. And there's a few questions that all religions try to answer. Where we come from, what happens after we die, why are we here? And when you look at it, the way that human beings and societies have developed, God was always left in the...
Afterthought?
No. It's called the God of the gaps. So whatever you cannot explain, God must have done it.
Mm.
So, and this has been going on for so long. I mean, you people were burned at the stake for saying that the earth revolved around the sun and not the other way around, and the people wouldn't have it, that the earth was round, going back again to the flat earth. People would burn at the stakes for it. So whatever people didn't understand, God was the explanation.
Mm.
Now, as we advanced, there was less and less gaps left for God to hide. Now, it was really ironic that when the boson particle, the boson of the Higgs boson was found, people were calling it the God particle, which was actually the other way around. It was the last piece of the puzzle where God could be hiding, because it completed the whole system and there was no room there for him anymore. But again, so it's the fact that we still don't know for sure, even though there, if you look now comparing to 50 years ago, even 10 to 15 years ago, at the theories that explain the not only the beginning of the universe, but beginning of life here on Earth, we're getting there. But the fact that we haven't have a scientific consensus, an explanation that explains everything, doesn't mean that it must have been God. Now, so it's pretty tricky when you say, okay, so if God didn't do it, who did it? Well, okay, we're getting there. But this is the same question that could be applied to anything else back in, you know, like 50 years, 100 years, 200 years ago. And we've been getting those.
We only did Higgs boson, what, like
two, three years ago. Yeah, it was a big deal.
Huge.
But again, I mean, and people say like the God's particle, as if it had anything to do with God. But it's funny because you mentioned, you know, the personal relationship that you have with God and what it does to you. I was walking in the building today and there's a psychic
downstairs. Next door.
Yeah.
And well, let's say you walk into that psychic's, you know, office, or I don't know how you call it. And then, well, she tells you so many interesting things, and to you that makes sense and you believe in it, and then that brings you joy, then brings you a deeper understanding of the universe and your life and your place in it and everything, and you walk out of it really feeling blissed. That's good.
If it helps, okay. It helps.
Well, but then the other day you go to a Penn & Teller show in Vegas and they do something called cold reading, which is basically what most psychics do. And then, I mean, it's just like you lift a veil and suddenly you see. So it's always...
So it's not magic anymore when you know how it's done.
So, and I have nothing against you keep on thinking that it was magical. You know, some you mentioned that, you know, I'm a Capricorn, so I'm astrology.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Astrology is another thing. People want to believe. I mean, I have nothing against that. People should believe whatever they want.
Right.
Whatever makes them feel, you know, better or whatever. But again, the problem starts when those beliefs, because when you start believing in that, you create a system, right? Mm-hmm. The universe works in your mind according to that system. So anything that is out of that system starts, you don't feel good about it. So it is a threat to your system of belief. That's why some people feel threatened by atheism, right? And I usually say it's funny, but people that feel the most hatred and the most vicious about atheism are usually. And I interviewed a professor of psychology called Sheldon Solomon, and we talked about the possibility making a parallel with the gay situation, because it was proven scientifically that usually homophobes are closeted gays. Mm-hmm. It's been proven. It's one of those things that everybody had a hunch, you know, because it's like so cliche. Yeah. Like, you know, American Beauty, the film, the guy, the father was always, and then he turns out to be gay. So they did tests and they confirmed that most of the times people that get so, you know, angry about homosexuality are closeted gays. They're just angry with something inside them.
Right.
You think the angry atheists are actually angry Christians are questioning?
Because if you're so strong about your faith,
why
should it bother you?
Yeah.
You know, but again, going back to the whole thing that happens throughout your life. So you're told when you're like 4 or 5 years old that you're gonna burn in hell if you misbehave, and God is this, God that. So you build your whole life based on those principles. You raise your kids based on those. And then when you're like older in life, if you stop to think and realize that it was all a lie, or maybe it wasn't as you were told, when if you look back. I mean, your whole life was a waste. Not the whole life was a waste, but to some people, yes, because they base everything on
it. The whole system was based on that.
And so it's really hard for people to come to grasp with this concept that it's not true. People go into denial,
right.
You know? So again, I think that personal beliefs, they are fine. I mean, it's not like we have a thought police that is going to go into everybody's head and say, you cannot believe in that. People should believe whatever they want. But your freedom stops when the others begins. Mm-hmm. So you should keep that to yourself.
Right.
And and again, the thing about kids, you mentioned, we're going to raise them Buddhist or Jews. I really think, people should be left to their own device. Should mm-hmm. We shouldn't teach these sort of things to kids.
So that means no holidays. No tradition, really. Nothing to keep the family together.
I'm not saying
together.
That because... think about Santa Claus and the tooth fairy. Right? We tell kids about tooth fairy, but it gets to a point in their lives when they realize it's not true.
Right.
Why does that not happen with religion?
Nice, but it's a nice thing to have a holiday. Even though you know there's no Santa, you like Christmas.
And I like it for the commercial traditional feelings it gives me.
But yeah, you used to believe in Santa, right?
I was Jewish.
A three-year-old.
Tooth fairy, yeah.
If you ask a three-year-old if they believe in Santa, they'll say yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
If you ask that same person, that same kid, like, 30 years later, he's going to laugh at your face.
Right. No, of course. But what I'm saying again is I think there's something to be said about traditional and holidays giving people identity. And that leads to my last question.
Oh, yeah.
No, go ahead.
They're not mutually exclusive, I think, what he's saying.
Exactly.
He's saying you can have both. If you have your traditions for yourself, that's great. Just don't tell me all about it and what I should do.
No, but if you raise your kids without it, you're not really giving them an option either to experience what it's like to have a holiday. But the last question to you, Michael, because we are totally out of time. When you don't have God in your life, what's the meaning of life for you?
What do you make of it? You make the meaning of your own life. I mean, life is an experience. It's a journey. And not only that,
but why are you here?
There's no why. I mean, why do you ask why?
Okay,
why
how?
Does it have to
how?
Be? But again, it's one of those, how?
There's a lot of questions I need answers
My parents had a romantic night.
Yeah,
some time ago,
a sperm 40, into an egg.
42 years ago, and I was born, and there's no...
But how does it happen that you become something more than a robot will ever be, even over 14 million, billion years of evolution or whatever?
Evolution.
Okay,
that's
evolution. Right, evolution. But the point is to become so sophisticated in a self-contained universe.
And to be conscious. That's what you're saying.
Consciousness. Another question is, and I'm not asking you for answers right now because I'm just bringing up the questions that people have atheists, okay?
Sure.
And my question to you is also, and these are just things to think about because you obviously can't answer them all, but where does right and wrong come into all this, right? Do you have... I mean, have you thought about that?
What is right to you might not be right to someone else. So, I mean, the whole concept of it being black and white, I mean, Hitler was pretty sure that he was doing right by his people. So, I mean, the concept of right and wrong...
But it wasn't a universal thing where you might say that,
are
saying, don't murder, although it used to be okay to murder.
Yeah,
so
the Crusades happened.
Maybe it's not a universal thing.
God was the biggest murderer in the Bible. I mean, there's a book that I think it was Thirst for Blood or something like that. I mean, the guy actually counted how many deaths was
that's it. Right,
was,
yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
It was like Satan killed 7 people and God killed millions in the Bible.
Well, yeah, so, but that's the point, though, is that, again, we're getting really into the Judeo-Christian Bible. So, of course, other people believe differently and everything. But, Michael, we have to wrap up. When are you coming back to the U.S.?
I still don't know.
Everyone, give money to this crowd so we can have more.
In fact, what you should do is take these interviews and put them in your film. You have to. We discuss so much stuff,
But if you hashtag Jubu, I get credit. That's all I'll say.
It's definitely yours. It's yours.
You're going to start a bumper sticker.
I really am.
An online store for bumper stickers. Yeah. It's a business there.
Maybe well, it'll come like a Baba Booey.
Yeah, that's right.
You know? I just wanted to invite people to, if they can, to the Facebook page, Godless Doc. We always have healthy discussions there. And if you can, join in the website, godlessdoc.com. And, there's an ongoing crowdfunding campaign there. We probably will start another one specifically for post-production. But, and if you want to send a message, ask anything, sometimes people need support because they don't know how to deal with that stuff.
Sure.
Even though I cannot help personally, I can show resources online that can be very helpful.
And let people invest some money in this. I mean, look how much conversation this generates. This film is going to be huge.
This is always like a dinner hijacker.
Good for you, man. I mean, you picked a good good direction in your life, I guess.
Thank you so much. And thank you so
but
much for having me.
But we respect you. At least here, you can speak whatever you want, your beliefs, and we are hungry to hear what you have to say.
Thank you.
There you go. Have a safe trip back.
Thanks a
and
lot.
And come back to us when the movie's done.
Yes.
Tori, thank you as always.
Anytime, guys. And namaste.
Yes. Enjoy your weekend.
Bye, guys.
From the Jubu and from me. Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.